RNZ Pacific News, Dalofa Koe, I'm Seo Manutev, I'm Tau Fai. Solomon Islands election results are coming in at a trickle. Koroi Hawkins is in Honiara.
Human error and venue complications hampered the first day of counting, but a steady stream of provisional results are expected today as more counting centres come online. Ironically, the three constituencies in the capital Honiara, where the headquarters of the Solomon Islands Electoral Commission is located, are among the places where counting is yet to begin. This is because the main counting venue was found to be too small, and so an extra location had to be found and prepared. Some mistakes made by electoral officials during polling have also surfaced, prompting concerns from counting agents representing election candidates.
Samoa's Director General of Health has warned the country is on the brink of declaring a dengue fever outbreak. The Samoa Observer reports Aono Dr. Alec Ekeruma told media a situational report on dengue is issued weekly. Aono says there is a possibility that by next week an outbreak of dengue will be declared, but this will depend on the figures made available today. The last dengue situation report, dated March 18th to 24th, showed 22 new lab-confirmed dengue cases recorded at the time, adding up to 40 cases in March. Aono says the ministry is planning a campaign to clean up and destroy breeding sites for mosquitoes. An MP on the opposition benches in Fiji has raised concerns over a lack of funding to address human trafficking. Fiji First MP Ioane Nevalurua says it's concerning just over $4,000 has been set aside for the Ministry of Home Affairs Human Trafficking Unit to tackle the issue in this financial year. Mr. Nevalurua told Fiji Village that if human trafficking is not confronted or effectively taken care of, it could become as problematic as the drug crisis in Fiji. In Aotearoa, new research shows a program helping homeless people into permanent housing has had a hugely positive effect on health, income and justice outcomes. Otago University has studied almost 400 people who are part of a Housing First program run by the People's Project in Hamilton. Over 5 years, incomes grew, hospitalisations fell by 44%, the number of nights spent at mental health units reduced by 63%, and there were 43% fewer criminal charges. Lead researcher Professor Neville Pierce says people have far better access to services they need.
The People's Project took the philosophy of no matter what the person's problem is, they were going to deal with it and they were going to address them as the person, versus other previous providers that are quite siloed and it becomes quite a complex system.
Neville Pierce says the improved quality of life has also lessened the burden on the health system. Fire and Emergency New Zealand says it fell short in its response to last year's weather disasters. An internal review into how the agency handled Cyclone Gabrielle and the Auckland anniversary floods found it wasn't prepared for the scale of what hit. In some instances, crews did not have boats, protective equipment or the training for water rescues. The National Commander, Russell Wood, says the review's recommendations aren't quick fixes.
Some of these opportunities for improvement will take some time, resource and funding to deliver. But we have learnt from the experience. We're putting measures in place to better support our people and improve our systems. But I think we still have some way to go.
Russell Wood says staff are better prepared today than they were early last year. The Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese will mark Anzac Day next week while in Papua New Guinea, attending the dawn service at the Isurava Memorial Site on the Kokoda Track. The Post Courier says the Albanese visit will not be an official state trip, but will be given full respect and honour, according to Foreign Minister Justin Kachinko. Mr. Albanese and his PNG counterpart, James Marape, will walk a part of the historic track to honour the fallen soldiers of World War II. The Kokoda campaign was a pivotal battle in the Pacific Theatre, with the Allied forces stopping the Japanese from reaching Port Moresby. A former Australian foreign minister says there's a real chance the United States will not provide his country with nuclear-powered submarines. Under the AUKUS defence partnership between Australia, the United Kingdom and United States, Australia will receive submarines from the next decade. But Bob Carr, who was Australia's foreign minister between 2012 and 2013, told RNZ Morning Report that promise may not be delivered.
The promise of three Virginia-class subs from American shipyards won't be delivered because America in the 2030s is going to be so anxious, so paranoid about not being able to overtake China in submarine numbers.
Bob Carr says there is mounting evidence that the US will be reluctant to give submarines from its own fleet to an ally, putting Australia's ability to defend itself at risk. New Zealand's greenhouse gases have fallen for 3 years in a row to reach their lowest level since 1999. Climate Change Minister Simon Watt says clean energy is behind the drop, but his predecessor is urging caution. Here's our climate change correspondent, Eloise Gibson.
Planet-eating gases produced by New Zealand fell to 78.4 million tonnes in 2022, around 3.4 million tonnes less than the year before. That's the equivalent of shaving off three times the emissions produced by all domestic flights that year. All sectors reduced emissions, but the biggest drop was from electricity, which used more renewables and less fossil fuels. Wet weather allowed more hydro generation, although wind power also helped. Climate Change Minister Simon Watt says the results back the government's commitment to doubling renewable energy. But the former minister, James Shaw, says if there's another dry year, Huntly Power Station will need to boost coal use.
And still with the climate, scientists say the recent deadly heat wave in West Africa and the Sahel would not have taken place without the impact of climate change. BBC Environment correspondent Matt McGraw reports.
The Sahel, which is made up of 10 countries across the Sahara's southern rim and parts of West Africa, were hit by a very powerful heatwave in April that researchers now say wouldn't have happened without human-influenced climate change. In Mali, temperatures exceeding 48 degrees Celsius were thought likely to have played a part in higher-than-normal death rates. The study shows that daytime temperatures were up to 1.5 Celsius hotter due to the ongoing emissions of warming gases from the use of fossil fuels, deforestation and agriculture.
In sport, Solomon Islands needs just a draw against American Samoa today to secure their ticket to the OFC Under-16 Men's Championship in Tahiti in July. Big wins against Papua New Guinea and Tonga in their first two pool matches sees them at the top of the points ladder in the qualifier event in Tonga. Hosts Tonga, who won their first game before going down to the Solomons, will face Papua New Guinea. A disappointed Sene Rusi Seru Vakula believes he's been used by the Fiji Rugby Union after they announced Mick Byrne as the new Flying Fijians coach. Seru Vakula, who was shortlisted for the position, told Fiji Times he had groomed players over the years and now someone else will reap the reward. He is currently with the Fiji Warriors in Samoa for the World Rugby Challenge. Meanwhile, Philip Basilala's season with the Fijian Indroa has ended due to injury. In the NRL, the Melbourne Storm defeated the Roosters 18-12 in Sydney last night. FBC Sports says winger Xavier Coates scored the winning try. Tied 12-all, Coates picked up a rolling ball, beat three defenders and scored 6 minutes from full time. The win sees the Storm take second spot on the points table. That's your latest RNZ Pacific News and Sport. For more stories, head to rnzi.com.